Well, there was a bathroom next door to Mrs. Clutter's room. The idea was to lock the parents in the bathroom and awake the kids and put them there, then bring them out one by one and tie them up in different parts of the house. And then, says Dick, after we've found the safe, we'll cut their throats. Can't shoot them, he says. That would make too much noise. Perry frowns, rubs his knees with his manacled hands. Let me think a minute. Because along in here, things begin to get a little complicated. I remember. Yes. Yes, I took a chair out of the hall and stuck it in the bathroom, so Mrs. Clutter could sit down, seeing she was said to be an invalid. When we locked them up, Mrs. Clutter was crying and telling us, "Please don't hurt anybody. Please don't hurt my children." And her husband had his arms around her, saying, like, "Sweetheart, these fellows don't mean to hurt anybody. All they want is some money." We went to the boys' room. He was awake, lying there like he was too scared to move. Dick told him to get up, but he didn't move, or move fast enough, so Dick punched him, pulled him out of bed, and I said, "You don't have to hit him, Dick." And I told the boy, he was only wearing a t-shirt, to put on his pants. He put on a pair of blue jeans, and we'd just locked him in the bathroom when the girl appeared. Came out of her room. She was all dressed, like she'd been awake some while. I mean, she had on socks and slippers, and a kimono, and her hair was wrapped in a bandana. She was trying to smile. She said, "Good grief, what is this? Some kind of joke?" I don't guess she thought it was much of a joke, though. Not after Dick opened the bathroom door and shoved her in. Dewey envisions them. The captive family, meek and frightened, but without any premonition of their destiny. Herb couldn't have suspected, or he would have fought. He was a gentleman, but strong and no coward. Herb, his friend Alvin Dewey, felt certain would have fought to the death defending Bonnie's life and the lives of his children. Dick stood guard outside the bathroom door while I reconnoitered. I frisked the girl's room, and I found a little purse, like a doll's purse. Inside it was a silver dollar. I dropped it somehow, and it rolled across the floor. Rolled under a chair. I had to get down on my knees. And just then it was like I was outside myself, watching myself in some nutty movie. It made me sick. I was just disgusted. Dick, and all his talk about a rich man's safe, and here I am crawling on my belly to steal a child's silver dollar. $1. And I'm crawling on my belly to get it. Perry squeezes his knees, asks the detectives for aspirin, thanks Dunce for giving him one, chews it, and resumes talking. But that's what you do. You get what you can. I frisked the boys' room, too. Not a dime. But there was a little portable radio, and I decided to take it. Then I remembered the binoculars I'd seen in Mr. Clutter's office. I went downstairs to get them. I carried the binoculars and the radio out to the car. It was cold, and the wind and the cold felt good. The moon was so bright you could see for miles. And I thought, why don't I walk off? Walk to the highway. Hitch a ride. I sure Jesus didn't want to go back in that house. And yet, how can I explain this? It was like I wasn't part of it. More as though I was reading a story. And I had to know what was going to happen. The end. So I went back upstairs. And now let's see. That's when we tied them up. Mr. Clutter first. We called him out of the bathroom and I tied his hands together. Then I marched him all the way down to the basement. Dewey says, "Alone and unarmed?" I had the knife. Dewey says, "But Hickok stayed guard upstairs?" To keep them quiet. Anyway, I didn't need help. I've worked with rope all my life. Dewey says, Were you using the flashlight or did you turn on the basement lights?
The lights.
The basement was divided into two sections. One part seemed to be a playroom. Took him to the other section, the furnace room. I saw a big cardboard box leaning against the wall. A mattress box. Well, I didn't feel I ought to ask him to stretch out on the cold floor, so I dragged the mattress box over, flattened it, and told him to lie down.